taping.
Tehillim, Omer Megillah, Perikuf Zayin, part of our understanding of the part of the Haggadah, where we start to read Hallel, and we try to inculcate a sense of Hoda'ah.
So Perikuf Vav just finished telling us about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and ended with Batsarah, and whenever we're in trouble, we seek out God's Yehula.
And here Perikuf Zayin begins with Yoruk Yehulei Hashem, Asher Go'olam Miyad Sof.
And here we begin to talk about four groups of people who are in such tzara. The first group is Ta'uba Midbar.
They are just lost in the desert, and describes just a quick tutsukim, right? Yishimon in the place of utter desolation. Shimon Darf, Ir Moshav Lo Matzav. They have find no yishuv, no place of residence. Re'evim Gan Tzmeim. They're hungry. They're thirsty. Nafsham Bahem Tisatov. Nafsham Bahem Tisatov means they start getting into like a fetal position, right? They start to, you know, they realize they have to conserve their heat, maybe, or I don't know what happens to you when you're in pain, and you start, you know, that's what they're doing. They expect to die, and they start to call out, Ve'itzaku el Hashem batzar lahem. And they call out to God. Remember those that terminology we just saw at the end of Kufav, batzar lahem. It's a statement that's made in the Torah too, Parshas Vasan. They turn to God, but tzar lahem, Yitzukosehem Yatzilim, and God saves them. Yadrichem b'derech Yisharon Aleches Elir Moshav, and God shows them the ways that they can reach Yishuv, or so they can get some food and drink and warm up. Right? Warm up, I mean, they've been in the desert. The desert can be a place of extreme cold during the night. Right? But they can reach a place of Moshav, and what do they do when they reach that place? You know the song? Yogil Hashem Chasdo V'Niflosa V'Nivnei Adam. I don't see them singing so much anymore, but you know the song, right? Ki Hizbiya Nefesh Okeka. It's right here.
Meshrei Bami Leitam. I don't sing the way you guys sing, but yeah.
Sing it a different way? You have a different tune?
Oh, we have a different tune,
yeah, sure. Yeah, you start to do everything different. So you even have your own pronunciations. So
those are the correct ones, by the way. Those are correct.
I know.
Yeah, the nuances.
All right, so that's the first group. The Tohu Bamidbar. Now let's get to the second group. Yoshve Choshech V'Tzamavis Asirei Onium Barzel. Ki Imre El V'Hatzasel Yom Na'atsu. Now this group is suffering because of something they did wrong. Those people that went to the Midbar, can I say, they go to the Midbar. Are you allowed to put yourself into a position where you have danger? If it's dangerous, I mean, we had two people in Arbina and Rav Singer were in my minyan this morning, and they came in from Eretz Yisrael or whatever, and they bench Gomel. Why are you putting yourself into a situation where you're going to bench Gomel? Stay out of a situation where you bench. Don't voluntarily go into a Gomel situation, right? Someone asked me, went skiing. He said, should I bench Gomel afterwards? I said, only if you fell off the cliff. Only if there was an avalanche. He goes, no, just skiing is dangerous. Then don't go! Right? In other words, unless you're a good enough skier, but then don't go! Anyway, for whatever reason, we bench Gomel today when we cross an ocean, even though it's not dangerous. Statistically speaking, it's a lot more dangerous to take a car trip to Monticello than to take a plane trip to Israel. Right? You know, just but it's not statistics that makes it bench Gomel. It's what we feel. Right? Remember, the heat of the Intifada, where everyone was staying away from Israel, the statisticians showed that your trip in a taxi from the airport to Yerushalayim is much more dangerous than anything Jews in Israel, statistically speaking, anything Jews in Israel fared under the Intifada. Terrorism, blow, you know, stabbings. It's just that one, you know, it's not statistics that make a bench call, but it's what you feel. If you feel you're, you know, if there was a danger, then you bench call. Right? Okay, there's more to say about that, but what's going on here? There's a general threat. This guy is in darkness. Look at the words. Yoshvei Choshech V'Tzalmaves. Tzalmaves is the shadow of death. Right? Gan Kileh B'Gei Tzalmaves. Right? Asirei Oni U'Barzel. Asir means someone
prison.
In prison, bound up. Aniu Barzel. I mean, here it could mean Barzel's iron. Oni means like more like oni, not poverty. He's incarcerated. Ki muim re'el ba'atzas al yom na'atzu. Ve'chana ba'mal bimam kashlu ve'enu zer. He submits, but there's no one to help him. Ve'izaku l'ashem ba'atzar lahem. So what do they do? The last resort? They call out to God, and God helps them. Of course, someone like Rashbam will say no. Someone like the Netziv will say there has to be. Zion and Tzadik just to interchange so much in Tanakh. So, you know. But to give you a Netziv kind of answer, Vayitzaku is crying out. Vayizaku is more of I'll say it like this. You find very often, especially say for Shoftim and Shmuel, Vayizak et ha'om. And the Targum is Uknish. But his akedam means you make an announcement and the people gather. You would never see by its akedam. Yeah, you have to feel the Hebrew. By his ak means to. They both mean to call out. But you would not use. But you would use by its ak.
By its ak is more of a painful situation.
Right. Sometimes you can't tell the difference. For instance, a very, very famous Bereishis Rabbah, because of Yaakov caused a reaction in Esau, by Yitzhak Tzeokah Gedolah. You know where I go with that? Yeah.
With Esau?
With Esau, therefore.
Esau's going to cause Yaakov.
Not Esau's Yaakov, but Haman to Mordechai.
Right.
And there it's. Right. So it's there, it's by Yitzhak Tzeokah in the Megillah Esther. Which is the Medrash basically saying that the author of Rus. Of Esther, purposely used terminologies that would make the ear of the reader tickle and say, "Oh, what an irony! That's what the Yaakov did to Esau." Right? So he's purposely using, but it's Vayitzak became Vayizak. So I'll say Vayitzak can be Vayizak, but there are some words where Vayizak appears that you would never use Vayitzak. All right.
I guess the other question is was this Tehillim given over orally first and then written down, which is the difference between Vayitzak and Vayizak? Is it negligible, or is it?
Let's see, because the other times it's Vayizaku again.
Right. All the other times it's Vayizaku.
So it could be, this is what a Netziv kind of Perush would say, is that the first group
is
the one that was closest to death, and therefore they cried out more.
I mean, also boats is by Yitzhak.
The what's up?
The what? Crossing the sea is also with Yitzhak.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, you see what's playing out here, right? So far we have crossing a desert, leaving incarceration, right? So they call out to God, they get answered. Yoydu Lashem chazdu v'niflosav v'bnei adam kishi bar dalsos nechoshe subruche barzal gidei. Because he broke their doors of Barzel, and he broke their Nechoshes, and he freed them. Right? A third group now. Right? This group just gets up to Shari Mames. Doesn't say what it is that they have, but they're right up to the gates of death. And they too call out to God in the Batzar Lahem. Right? It says, Kol Ochel Tisa'ev Nafshom. Does it mean that you're so close to death that even every food is this you despise?
Is that difficult to eat?
Who despises food until? In turn, we just a few prokin before. I'm just two prokin before. Look at Perek Kuf Bet. The Kuf Bet is one of the most desperate prokim in Tehillim. Describes the Tefillah Ani Ki Atov B'fnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicha. I mean, he's really He's pouring everything out to God. Right? Please answer me quickly, God. I'm about to die. My life is disappearing like a wisp of smoke. God, I need you this second. Right? Right? I'm like a bird on a roof and the waters are coming. Right? Everyone is mocking me. I'm a laughing stock. Now here's the psukim. Ki efer kalecha macholti. I eat ashes like bread. Vishikulai bivchi masochti. Whatever I drink has more tears in it than drink to quench my thirst. I know it's because you're angry with me, God. Because I know you picked me up and now you threw me away. My days are like a shadow cast aside, and I'm like the grass drying out. Oh, he said, yeah, I skipped it. Pasuk Hey, Ukok Esev Vayivash Libi, Ki Shochachti Me'achol Lachmi. I have forgotten how to eat. You're in depression, makes you feel. You have no, because a human being has all kinds of things to look forward to, right? You look forward to relationships, you look forward to physical benefit, you look forward to spiritual benefit, you look forward to gratification, you look forward to validation, you look forward to all kinds of things. But one thing hopefully we have a zest for, even if it's not a Snickers bar, is that's why Snickers bars are so good, because it's immediate gratification. But you don't realize you have to spend an hour and 15 minutes on a treadmill just for that one little thing. If people knew that, you know, right? So, but it gives you the immediate gratification. I have no gratification whatsoever. As he says here in Perikuv Zion, right? Kol ochel tisaiv nafsham. Not just because they're seasick. No. Kol ochel tisaiv nafsham, because I'm depressed. Nothing gives me pleasure. Nothing gives me any benefit. Right? Death would be a welcome interlude of this pain I'm in. Right? But don't ever get that far, because you always have a Kodesh Baruch. I'm now quoting from elsewhere, Aviv imi azavuni, even if my parents would reject me, Vashem yasmi, and of God would bring me in. And it seems that David's parents did reject him, because they didn't even call him in for a tryout for to be king. Remember that?
Right.
Rashi quotes this out of the Medrash. It appears in Medrash Tehillim. It's really crazy. I don't know if you've ever heard it, that David's parents thought David's father, at least, thought he was a mamzer. Have you had that come about? Because I'll just tell quick. David's father was separated from his mother, but they didn't divorce. He just lived in the house, and then they're still married, so they can be achim. But they had nothing to do with each other for years. And then Mr. Yishai married another woman, and he told his first wife that if you want out, just tell me, I'll give you a divorce, I'll find you a place to live. But if you're staying in this house, you have to be chaste, right? So the two women became friendly, and the older Mrs. Yishai just said, I miss my husband. She goes, I'll tell you what, it's Rosh Chodesh tonight. The moon is new. It's very, very dark. We're about the same size. You come in. I'm sharing with him. You're still his wife, right? She conceived that night. And then when she showed pregnancy 4 months later, and it's, you can imagine who this is, right? And he says, you're an adulteress. You committed adultery. He goes, no, you are the father of this child. I haven't been with you in 6-7 years. What are you talking about? He goes, no, don't you remember that? I don't remember that. I've never been with you. I would know if I was. Right? And she carried a baby, and that's David. So he didn't accept that I should bring him in from the field. Otherwise, how do you explain such a thing? I was a stranger to my brothers, my mother's children. Because that's how he was raised. Very, very difficult childhood and stuff. So even afilu, even masu habonim was zogar osh pinoy. You get these pesukim all over Tehillim like this, right? So he's saying here also, I became so depressed, even food doesn't give me any joy. At least you could look forward. You're hungry. You could look forward to something tasty. No, nothing gives me any pleasure. Nothing gives me anything. When you reach that stage, doesn't matter how much, how wealthy you are, nothing gives you pleasure. Koheles, by the way, might as well just give off a tangent after tangent. Koheles is advice to people to keep life interesting, even in your old age. Because times will come where you can't experience that gives you so much pleasure now. You can't keep doing that. It's not going to give you pleasure for the rest of your life. So don't make your life dependent on that. Take to heart some things that you'll be able to do, you know, in your older age too. Okay, so what's this third thing? He came all the way up to the very gate of death itself. Okay. That's a general threat to life. And the fourth one is your Yodei Hayam Ba'aniyot. Your Yodei Hayam could just be poetic. But it's very interesting that in Tanakh, the word for sailor outside of Yonah, remember that from Akkadian? Sure. Is either Yodei Hayam or Yodei Hayam. Or Yodei Aniyot. What do you say about a society that comes up with words like this for sailor?
Which one? Yodei
or all of them. Yodei Hayam. Yodei Aniyot. Yodei Aniyot. That may be, but the point is that it's a society that doesn't have a lot of sailors. You can feel it, because if you have sailors, then the word appears more, you create a word for it. The only time a word appears, one word for sailor in the whole Tanakh, is describing Gentile sailors in the book of Yonah. Malochim, which is very, very clever way of speaking of those who sail the high seas because it's salty, so maloch, melach. But when you look at it, when you see it, remember in Tawil's book, the Lexicon of Akkadian, maloch means to know ships, right? A knower of ships. So it may be a borrowed word from another Semitic language, which now becomes Hebrew because now we're using it. But a society is only going to produce words that are needed in that society. You know what I'm saying? Don't be so surprised that the Eskimos have 20 words for snow, but the Tanakh only has one. But it has 20 words for rain.
For what?
There are close to 20, I think 17, 18 words for rain in the Tanakh. Zarzif. If you see that one, Zarzif. It's onomatopoetic. It's very heavy rains. Yoreh, Malkosh, Geshem, Matar, Rivivim, Sidurim, all kinds of words. So society will create words that are used by the society. And that's, we weren't now hardly ever maritime societies. A few times in Sefer Malachim we attempted, it never really worked.
Where is the Zabzif term that you said? I never heard of that.
It's in Tanakh. It's in
where is it? Like in Tanakh?
It's like in Tehillim. It's in Tehillim. It's elsewhere in Tehillim.
Are these six Sukkim taken from elsewhere?
I'm sorry?
Are these six psukim that were reading out taken from elsewhere? Because they have the nun from Tanakh.
Oh, these nuns?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chazal say that.
Isn't it like a Chazal academic thing that the upside down, backwards nuns, or whatever, are representative of, like,
well,
later edit, or.
It's only he or placed out of Adam. Yeah, that's a Gemara.
I mean, that's fine.
Psukim and Midbar. Yeah, Gemara says something, you know, like it's a whole separate book by itself. And Rashi brings it down in this parish. Yeah, so this is the only other place where it appears in Tanakh. There, in Bamidbar, in here. Okay, so Chevra, I don't want, the cat is out of the bag already. Crossing a desert, leaving incarceration, general threat to life, about the gates of death, and your dehaya. What is he doing here? Good. These are they. Chayim, b'chol ha-chayim, chavush, yam, yisurim, midbar. It's a nice little mnemonic that the Shulchan Aruch himself writes. B'chol ha-chayim, yoducha selah. Right? I have to give Oda, bench Gomel, bring the Korban Toda for these four. Fine. What are they?
They're crossing the desert, which is what the Jews did in Egypt.
It's Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's Chayav Adam, there was this Atzmo, Kilu Yitzam Mitzrayim. Every time we bring a Korban Toda, we are fulfilling this dictum. Chayav Adam, there was this Atzmo, Kilu Yitzam Mitzrayim. And it's a daily mitzvah because Batsar Lohem, it's every day. So, to try to think, it's not in the Talmud Bavli for some reason. Rashi and Daf Dalet Maseches Brachos has to quote Yerushalmi that gets it this way. And it says, that's our daily mitzvah called Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. Goal in the past, you redeemed us. And I'm going to now say a prayer where I say Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael. Because my first Gemula in Mitzrayim is a paradigm for all future Gemulas. Yisham Dalet was in Elam. So that's called Somech Ge'ula L'Tfila. Right? Have you heard that mitzvah? Smichas Ge'ula L'Tfila.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that what we do, Gal Yisrael?
Yeah, Rosh Hashanah Gal Yisrael. You start davening without any interruption. We do it at night also because, at night, we talked about that earlier in Magid, because at night also there was some kind of quasi Ge'ula Be'akam Paralayla, and they already got permission to leave at night. But at night, the Ge'ula isn't as strong, so we'll put in Hashkimenu, we'll put in the Kaddish, we'll put in the Shachmurtan. There are other interruptions we'll make. We never make it in the morning. Right? Because the morning is actually when we left. So there's an extra milas, as Taisvus, that Shabbat and Gemara is that if you're somech ge'ul l'tfila, but the real definition of that is to do so at sunrise. It's called davening basikin. And the Gemara says, if you're somech ge'ul l'tfila, everything will go well for you that day. So Taisvus says, what's the chiddush? We're all somech ge'ul l'tfila. Taisvus says, no, the Gemara means, if you do it at the time of sunrise when Bnei Yisrael started to leave Mitzrayim, and they spent the whole day leaving, so then that's what that's talking about. So that's that. Now, so what's the Yerushalmi that Rashi quotes? He says that Tehillim chapter 19 ends, Yul Ratzon Yivrei Fi VeHegyon Libi Lefanecha Hashem Tzuri VeGoali. What's the next pasuk in Tehillim? That's chapter 19. What's chapter 20? And that's probably why we say it every day. We say chapter 20 in between Asher and Yuvah Tzion. Right? But not on a happy day, because Yom Tov Shem Yom Tzar. Correct. All these words are trying to get the word Mitzrayim. Mina Meitzar, Tzar, Batzar Li, Batzar Lohem, Yom Tov Shem Yom Tzara. Right? So it's trying to remind us that how do you fulfill... how do you fulfill the mantis korosim tishom mitzrayim kandecha or chayav adam liros esatz makulu yisom mitzrayim? Let me ask you, what would be easier, even with the hagod and everything? Chayav adam liros esatz makulu yisom Auschwitz or chayav adam liros esatz makulu yisom mitzrayim? I think Auschwitz is easier to fulfill because A, I have actual footage of it. B, I have people who are alive who remember what it was like to get off that train, right? But I'm telling you, no matter how many times you watch Schindler's List, or any other movie, or read any black book of Polish Jewry, or read any book about what went on in Auschwitz, I think there's a new movie out now called Son of Saul. Have you heard of it? It won the best film of the year, a foreign film, at the Academy Awards. I just read it. But it's Polish playing on 62nd Street. The book is in Hungarian. It's about a man who is on the detail, and they only lasted, each one lasted 2 months or so, of clearing out the crematoria after they burned all the bodies. And another detail was responsible for taking the bodies out of the gas chambers and bringing them into the crematorium. And this is what this movie is. And this man who's on the detail recognizes his son's body as he's taking it out of the gas chambers. And the movie is about him trying to get him buried instead of taken to the crematorium.
Was it a true story?
I don't think so. Well, according to the movie, he actually survived the gas chamber. He came out alive from the gas chamber because they were huddled so close that he he was able to survive 3 minutes of that tucked onto someone's arm or something.
Child.
Not an infant, a child.
Is that what they used to do? Is it they used to like huddle over to protect the children?
Yeah, and it was a gruesome death. So the technology that they were using to make the Zyklon B gas was invented by a Jew in World War I.
Oh, really?
It was the same gas they used in the battlefields in World War I. The technology he used to make that gas has... The name is Faber, if you can look it up. I don't know if I've compared it. Faber. The guy's name is Faber. He was a Jew. I forget the first name. Again, to Guntar, this is Faber, F-A-B-E-R. And he's credited with saving, up to now, billions of lives by inventing this ammonium or something that was used for fertilizer. F-A-B-E-R. I think he might have even won a Nobel Prize or something. When he used it, the technology for the ammonia for the gas, his wife committed suicide, his family broke up, and he felt that, look, I have to make Germany win World War I. Faber, nothing's coming up. But maybe I'm wrong about the first name, about the last name. Fertilizer. He invented something that helps.
Fritz Haber.
Oh, Haber. What's it, Faber? Fritz Haber is correct. Right, so his technology is what they ended up using for Zyklon B. Anyway, so Saul, Son of Saul is this film. So let's say there's no mitzvah chayav al mitzvah zatz mukul tzami Auschwitz, but we have evidence, we have stories, we have movies you can see. How am I supposed to fulfill Chayav Adam Lewis's Atzma Kudus in the Mitzrayim? By watching the movie The Ten Commandments? Right? What does the Rambam say you should do? I don't think we have it anymore. He says, take your child to a slave. And the stomach, kind of slave like one who's attached to a ball and chain or something like that. Take your child to a slave. And show the child, this is what we'd be like if Hashem could take us out of Mitzrayim. Really? Where am I doing that? How am I getting that? I'm not fulfilling Chayav Adam Lewis's Mitzrayim. Right? So that's, what I'm going to say. But, so here is the time I'm making with all this. And now we'll go back into that, but maybe next class. Is that the whole point of the juxtaposition of Kuf Hei Kuf Vav with Kuf Zayin, two Prokem Yetzias Mitzrayim, Metzalayim, Bench and Gomel, is that the Korban Pesach is a big Korban Todah. What's the riot? The fascinating riot that the Sefer HaChinuch says. He doesn't make... I'm drawing the point together. Is that the Sefer HaChinuch says, wait a second, the Korban Todah is a Shlomen. Shlomen has 2 days to eat it. Why is the Korban Todah to be eaten in 1 day?
The Todah?
Korban Todah only has 1 day to eat it.
Like
and you're bringing 40 challahs with it.
This is the Sirdas Ardalos.
Therefore,
you need to have people eating it with you.
I want to have as many people as possible eating it with me. Right? Because if I have 2 days to eat it, so I'll bring 20 people to eat this. But if you only have the day to bring it till midnight to eat it, I'm going to bring everybody I know. Because what's the first thing that you always ask a person in shul when they're benching gomel? Why are you benching gomel? I hope it's just that you flew over from Israel, right? So let me tell you what happened to me. And then the Bekan is not going to say halal. Right? So Korban Pesach is even better. Pesach is also a shalom. I even have less time than Korban Torah to eat it. Because I can't start eating it until nighttime. Right? I'm sure I have till midnight to eat it. At least according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And who knows? If you meet the Gemara Daf Tes and Brachas at the end of Pesachim, and you see what madness made Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say we have till midnight. You know what his drasha is? First of all, he says it's Chipazon de Israel, not Chipazon de Mitzrayim. And then he says it's a Zereshah. Oh, he's escaping me. daf tes in the Sechas Brachas. Rabbi Elizabeth Nazariah, I mean, it says, lo toch, al tochami menu, lo sasir menu ad boker, vandu sar menu ad boker, ba ishti srofu. Poshrib shabbat, you have till the morning to eat it. That's Rabbi Kiva's sheet. Rabbi Kiva may agree, by the way, he says, Rabbi Shoghi, with Rabbi Elizabeth Nazariah, that means Rabbanu, you have till midnight, like the first mission in Brachas, right? But it arrives to Rabbi Elizabeth Nazariah, says, you only have till midnight. And the Sfarah may well be, says the Ritva, is that it may be that he wants to curtail even more than the Korban Torah. Because Korban Torah has from 2 in the afternoon till midnight. Korban Pesach, I'm like, yeah, that's how I'm going to get a lot of people here. Right? So, and besides, the Korban Pesach is not even your dinner. It's your dessert. Nochal al hasova. So for that very reason, you get a lot of people there. And you don't break the bones because you're famished. Korban Pesach, no chalal asova, that's what we call the Efik Kovel. Right? So that the Korban Pesach becomes this big Korban Todah that whose time is seriously curtailed. So that you tell the story. So this is the spirit of what it's all about, is if you have Holocaust survivors in your house, I grew up with my father as a survivor, the whole meal, certainly the meal, and every paragraph was like suffused with some kind of, you know, tale of survival of some sort. And he had a lot to tell because he was the only one in the family, and his family had survived. So it was chayvah and there was satsma. And the halacha actually says that if your father survived something, you have to make the bracha also. When you come to that place, even if you were born before that thing happened, surely if you were born after, right, you'd never be here if not for that. Right? Okay, it's complicated, but so that's how Perek Kuf Zayin ends. Okay, that's the purpose I'd like to suggest before you. Of this juxtaposition between Kuf Hei, Kuf Vav, and Kuf Zayin. So now let's take a look at it. Just take this. Check.
Okay, so
Perek
Kuf Zayin ends.
So now we just finish off. So the Li part, Bavur Zeh Asa Hashem. We got into the Vidcha, that's the beginning. Manishtana Avodim Ayinu, right? Vayomahu, Ivayomahu, to explain why we're doing this on the 14th, on the 14th, not earlier. Leimor is all of the Sukkim, the Zerah Netuyah, the Morah Gadol, the Sos, the Sim, right? Bavur Zeh, that's Rabbi Gamliel, correct? Kol Shaloh, Abu Shaloh, Shadri Meilu, right? Bavur Zeh. Now, Asa Hashem Li, is Bechol Dor Bador, Chayav Adam Nirvus Esatz Megilu Yatzam Yitzrayim. There you go.
See how pertinent this is? This is what we're telling the Rasha. Asa Hashem Li, Evil Alone, that's why this is his Pasuk. Right? To get the word Li in there, be inclusive. Get it? That's when it's all turning to. It's so beautiful. It's not just that he redeemed them, he redeemed us. That was said in Sefer Devarim.
Okay,
Mamish took us out. Right, so I'm taking the liberty of explaining this with some liberty. Is that I'm talking about our daily existential mitzrayims. We all have our mitzrayims. Are you familiar with the machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, over whether davening is a daily mitzvah? Are you familiar with the machlokas?
The Rambam says it's daily mitzvah to daven. Where does the Torah say so?
It's a Gemara at the beginning of the Masechet Tainis. It's a Sefrei on the Pasuk. So Rambam takes it literally. The Gemara is not just a smachta. When you derive a mitzvah from a Pasuk, that makes it a Doraisa, no? Rabban disagrees. And the Ramban's Rayas are good Rayas. Ramban's Rayas are all over Shas, Mishnayas, that clearly show that Rabban, that Tefillah is Rabban. Especially the Sechas Brachos. Right? The Gemara puts eating brachos before eating together with davening, and it puts Birkas HaMazon together with Kriyat Shema. Okay. So how do we reconcile the Rambam with these Mishnayos? So the Kesef Mishnah answers that to the Rambam, the idea of davening is Doraisa. How we daven, Shmon Esrei, what we say when we daven, that's Doraisa. Right? Could Doraisa, davening is, you know, some Hodor, some Sheva, some Akasha, right? But what we say, okay, we're saying that's Doraisa. The Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying that the Ramban would agree with the Rambam today that the daven today is a Doraisa. Why? Because of all of our daily existential problems that we face today, there is certainly a Torah law to daven today. Here? Those are the daily existential issues that we're saying here relates to Mitzrayim. When did you leave Mitzrayim? This morning. When you were some of you imagine, you know, who doesn't have a, you know, look, life made a peachy creamy for the two of you. But, you know, we all have our issues. We all have our challenges. We're about to face certain things. And just to feel, Ribbono Shalom, I'm facing these things with the conviction and the strength to know that you're guiding me. And I'm following your Torah, even if you're very busy today and you have other more important things to worry about than my date tonight or whatever it is and I need your help with. I'm just saying is that my conviction is that I follow your Torah, you've guided me, and that I feel comfortable in that place. Right? People have all kinds of anxieties because of these uncertainties that we face, right? Okay? So, approaching that with a sense of conviction that all the wealth is under your hands might be the scope of what this is. Because to say, Lo asav oseinu b'vad gal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Ela af oseinu ga'al imahem. Does that literally mean, really? Imahem? Is that really what it is? Because I was never in Egypt. Ga'al imahem means now, like God redeems them, God redeems me every day. Is it such a burden? How could I possibly understand what it is to be in Mitzrayim? Have you ever seen the movie The Ten Commandments? Have you seen some of those scenes with the whipping and the killing? They did the mud pits and they killed that old man because he stood up for that girl. You know what I'm saying?
I've seen some of them. All right,
but so far, okay, that might that mean without Hollywood, I can't experience it. Yes, that's right. This is me. No, it's your own Yetzias Mitzrayim that we're talking about. Right? And then, Betzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. Oh my goodness, it's brilliant. Betzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. It's right there. I love this malvim, I keep saying it. All right, and then we go right into the bracha. And then we're ready to eat. Okay, so that's going to close this part of the Haggadah. Okay.